Amen. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Knowing when to change and when not. Malachi chapter 3. And we'll pick up in verse 5. And Brother Spencer, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Sure, Breach. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We want to thank you for the blessings that we've experienced today, and safety and health. Lord, we thank you for the messages this morning, and I just pray that you bless Pastor as he brings forth from your word tonight. I just pray that you would be blessed by your word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I what?
Change not.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Israel had been so wicked and so vile, and yet the Lord had not consumed them. Why? Because of his promises to them, his promises of mercy. So he's saying there, the reason they're still a nation is because the Lord changes not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thankfully for Israel and for us, the Lord is so gracious. Notice in Lamentations chapter 3, Lamentations 3, it is so good to know that the Lord does not change in a day when so many things are changing. Lamentations 3, we'll read verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that what? We are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is what? Thy faithfulness. So how do we know when it is okay to change? Some things should change. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now the Lord doesn't change because he's perfect. He's holy. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are what?
Passed
away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. So we find here that some things should not change, and other things should change. I was told recently that someone I knew from years ago had passed away. He was a pastor. And so I was just looking up the website of the church. I did not know where he had pastored in many years. And so I looked it up, and on the website, which is so typical of so many churches now, that it's got a rock band going on the opening page of the website. Many church websites will kind of scroll through like videos. And so it's the drummer, going at it drumming. And I'm thinking, you know what? He was raised in a day when it was rock music was still preached against back in that day. And I'm thinking, what changed? What changed? There are some things that should change and some things that should not. But you know what? 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone gets saved and they have worldly music in their lives, that should change. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 19, Ephesians 5:19, I can still remember as a teenager going to a church, a Baptist church, and they had a special speaker in there, and man, he was pounding away at rock music and the wickedness of it, and having people, young people, come forward promising to break all their records. For those of you who don't know what a record is, it was a round black plastic thing. Nowadays it would be bring all your memory sticks or MP. No, people don't even use MP3 players, do they, hardly anymore? That would be they bring all your phones forward and smash them. You know, all that ungodly music that you have on your phone. You know. The young people just streamed forward promising they would break all their rock records. And I didn't go forward because we didn't have, I think for my folks, nothing like that was allowed in our home. So I didn't have to feel guilty and go break them because we didn't have any of those in our house. So praise the Lord. But, it just, to me, it's heartbreaking to see the changes that have happened. And people have allowed it that know better. You know, we talk about politicians. Why do they allow some things? Don't they know better? They should. But this thing about just pleasing man, I guess, overrides it all. So it's only of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. But in Ephesians 5:19. It says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and what? Hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But we don't have time to hit that tonight. But you know what? When we get saved and our music is wrong, or if we are saved and our music has become wrong, that should change. That should change. But there are other things that should not change. Notice in Proverbs 15, some things should not change. But you know what? Far too many churches have changed in the area of music, in the area of Bible translations. We're just slipping. We're slipping. And you know, just imagine how God feels tonight. It's like the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. He's knocking on the church door to come in. Why should Christ be on the outside of the church? Well, remember when he came the first time, he went into the temple, and what did he have to do? He had to cleanse it. Tip over those money changers' tables and drive those animals out of God's house. My, we certainly are in the Laodicean age, that's for sure. But where can we find the answer of what should and what should not change? Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to what? To answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So, is our heart righteous tonight? Do we want a righteous heart? Well, then we need to study to answer what should change and what shouldn't change today. So, what do we study to find this out? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15. You already know the answer. It's the Word of God. That's what we should study to find the answer. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. And that's the issue, isn't it? That's the issue. Do we want to be approved of God or of man? That's the issue. The problem is our flesh wants to be approved of man. None of us like to make enemies. I just read about a judge, I don't know if it was in New York, somewhere, was gunned down. And the picture of him, just a young man, like in his maybe 30s, come out of his house and somebody gunned him down. They're thinking it was a custody trial, broken marriage, and the man wasn't getting a favorable decision in court. So they're looking for him now. We need to be approved of God. That needs to be our overriding concern. Notice in Psalm 119, but we have to fight it all the time because we don't like it when people hate us. We don't like it when people cry out against us. In Psalm 119:42, so shall I have wherewith to what? Answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in what? Thy word. So it's the Bible that we need to study to find these answers. What should change in my life and what shouldn't? The Bible is the only thing that can give us the answer to that. Proverbs 16, verse 23. You know, we don't want to be stubborn. We don't want to say, well, I'm not changing, if we should change. But if we shouldn't change, then it's not being stubborn. It's being godly. It's being approved of God if we refuse to change on things that are important in the Word of God. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise, what? Teacheth his mouth. And addeth learning to his lips. Well, where do we get the right teaching and the right learning? Well, it's from the Bible. That's where we get it. So the Bible needs to be our foundation. So let's look at some things here in Proverbs 24. In some things, we should not change. Proverbs 24:19. No matter how many names they call us, you know, just standing on the Word of God, you're called a bigot, you know, a lot of other names. Proverbs 24:19, and we'll read through verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou who? The Lord and the King. And meddle not with them that are what? Given to change. Well, what kind of change? Well, we've just been reading about evil. Verse 22, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? So, in some things we should not change it. It's so easy to get caught up with the crowd today calling for evil changes. With social media today, those who are involved in social media, there is so much pressure on people today to please people. You know, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or X, as it's called now, or any number of social media platforms, it all has to do with people being able to respond, to like what you're doing, to not like it, to a comment section. Why do people subject themselves to that? Well, at first, it's exhilarating when, you know, the number of people following you on Twitter or X, you know, grows, you know, the people that have thousands of followers, or on Facebook, you have all these people that like you. But what happens then when you stand on the Word of God and they don't like you? There's the temptation then to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe I jumped the gun. I don't know how many news things I've read where people put something out on their Facebook or on their Twitter or X, and then there was an uproar, and then they backtrack. Why do people subject themselves to that? It's the same problem that Hollywood has always had. It's the same problem that the world's musicians have always had. Elvis Presley drowned himself in drugs in his later life, and I read about him that He literally hated to go out there on that stage. And yet, that was his life, his fans. And it just tormented him at the end. It reminds me of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 23. Acts 19, 23. There are so many people that get in a frenzy, that get in an uproar over things that are online. And many times they're not even true. Acts 19, 23. And we'll read through verse 32. We'll start in verse 23. And at the same time, there arose what? No small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with what? Hands. So he's talking about idols. He's saying, this Paul, he's saying our idols aren't really gods. Verse 27. So that not only this, our craft, is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were what? Full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another. For the assembly was what?
Confused.
And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. So the majority of them didn't even know why they were there. They were just following the crowd rushing into the theater. The crowd that was upset, and the more part, the majority of them didn't even know why they were all there. But they were part of it. That's like online, the uproar that's created. And I think of like just the an example is that bombing of the hospital there in Gaza. And of course Hamas is going to blame it on Israel. But then Israel studies it and said it was Hamas's botched rockets. But some of our politicians got right on rushing to the theater and blaming Israel. No, there's no difference between this mob rule that's going on today. So, what will protect us in times like this? Well, the word of God. First, we're to fear the Lord. Notice in Proverbs 24 and verse 21. What can help us in these days of mob rule? Well, verse 21 says, My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. So, what English word is used here in verse 21? For God, the first word is Lord. What does Lord mean? What does that name mean? It means Master. If you hold your place here, let's turn into John 13. Now, if people refer to God as Lord, what are they saying? What are they acknowledging? Well, Lord means Master. John 13:13. John 13:13. Jesus said, "You call me what?
Master
and Lord. And ye what? say, well, for soul I am. So Lord means master. Notice then with me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. So when we talk about the Lord, we're referring to him as master. Well, that's probably not too acceptable today, because if you use the word master, well, you automatically think of slave or servant. People don't want to be servants. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, "And why call ye me what? Lord, Lord, and what? Do not the things which I say." Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you're going to refer to me by that name, you need to do what I say. Because Lord means master. So when we call, when we refer to God as Lord, we should have a heart to do what he says, to obey his word. Here's an example, Acts chapter 9. If we call him Lord, if we're calling him that in sincerity, we need to be ready to obey what he says. Acts 9, verse 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying in him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, what?
Lord.
And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, what?
Lord.
And then what does he say? What wilt thou have me to do? You see, if we refer to God as Lord in sincerity and in truth, in spirit and in truth, we need to say just exactly what Saul here at this point said. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And that is what he did. That is what he did. You know, there's a lot of debate about leading people to the Lord and prayers. What should you have them say? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Let's look at just a few of common verses we try to show people when we're trying to deal with them about their soul. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus. What is the first name of God listed?
Lord.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The first name of God listed there when trying to show someone how to be saved is Lord. Lord means what? Master. And if we call him Lord, what should we be ready to do? Obey. Obey. So true salvation is not just saying, oh, I've just got to say these words and it's a free ticket to heaven, and I, you know, and then I can just go on like I want. That is not the idea. It's that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, true salvation is a heart that wants to submit to God. It's true salvation is not just saying words. Okay, if I say these special words, I'll go. It's a decision of the heart. Is that not what it says in verse 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe where?
In thine heart.
That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So calling upon the Lord from the heart is an attitude of, you know what? I want to obey him. Does it mean we're going to be instantly perfect? Well, based on the blood of Christ, we are declared perfect. We We are, our position is the Son of God. Our position is without sin, but our practice has a lot to be desired. Notice with me in Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Last week at Hathaway Hills, I spoke and I saw in our bathroom medicine cabinet a bottle, and the bottle on it said artificial tears. You know what? I'm afraid there's a lot of that goes on before God. Artificial tears, not real. Now you know what artificial tears are used for. When someone has dry eyes, then they use artificial tears, but they're not the real thing. I just wonder how many artificial tears are brought before God. In Psalm 38:18, the Bible says, "For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be what? Sorry for my sin." I guess that's one thing to look for when someone is truly serious about getting saved. Are they really sorry for their sin? Are they really sorry? Or not? Here's another verse we use in Romans 10. Back to Romans 10. I should have had you hold your place there. Romans 10 and verse 13. And it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of" who? "The Lord shall be saved." It's interesting, isn't it? Why does the Bible list that name for Jesus? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why isn't it every time just Jesus? I mean, Jesus means Savior. But why is it so often Lord is first? Well, there's got to be that humility. There's got to be that bending of our heart, that yielding of our heart to the Lord. Notice other verses we use. Acts 16. Acts 16. These verses are often given to unsaved people. In Acts 16, 29, we'll read through 31, verse 29. The jailer, this is talking about the jailer, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do?'" What? "To be saved." And they said, "Believe on" who? "The Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." What is the first name listed for God? Lord. It's Lord. It's Master. So, what must I do to be saved? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's bending that heart to God. So what did they do with his house, his family? Verse 32. "And they spake unto him the word of" who? "The Lord into all that were in his house." Well, I guess they took it seriously that what God says to do, they were willing to do, because verse 33 says, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was" what? "Baptized, he and all his" straightway. So they took that serious, because if you go to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, they did the first command after salvation that the Lord gave. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and then what? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Well, I guess they took that serious, because that same night they were baptized, his whole family. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Let's go back to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. So we are to fear the Lord and meddle not with those that are given to change. So obviously the change part is bad changes. Don't meddle with people like that. They're given to change. Proverbs 8:13. This defines for us what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now here we have another problem. Because today, how are you going to define evil? We are accused of being evil because we are against abortion. In some people's eyes, that means we hate women. We hate abortion. So they're saying we're evil. We hate women. We want to make them slaves. Well, that's not true. So the same thing with sodomy or transgenders. If you stand against it, they're going to say you're a hate monger. They're going to say we're evil, and that is false. So what does it mean, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil? Once again, we have to go back to the Bible to see what evil really is. Because there's all kinds of ideas out there, like, let's look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. So as Christians, we are made out to be domestic terrorists today. Is that true? Well, I mean, it's true that they're calling us that, but it's not true that we are domestic terrorists. We want our nation to be spared. And so we're bringing out the things that need to be changed in our direction of our nation, or our nation will fall. But Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call what? Evil good. And what? Good evil. So you see, who's going to be the one to say what is good and what is evil? What has to be God. God alone has the right to define evil. God alone has the right to define what good is. For instance, Israel. There are many people who would say we are evil because we are on Israel's side. We are saying that that land over there, all of it, belongs to Israel. For that, we are called evil. Well, we are wrongly accused of that. That all that land is God's land. Notice in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. We have got to get back to what God says. Leviticus 25 and verse 23. God says, in referring to the Holy Land over there, God says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is what? It's mine. It's God's. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. Same thing here. This land does not belong to the Indians. This land does not belong to America. This land is God's. And you know what? If we embrace sodomy and transgenderism and all those wicked, vile things, you read Leviticus 18, and what you're going to find out is this ground is going to spew us out of this land because it's God's land. So the Holy Land is God's. God created this world. He gave that land to Israel. It's their land. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter who's squatting on it. And it doesn't matter if they've been there 7 years, 70 years, 700 years. It does not matter. It's God's land, and He gave it to the Jewish people, to Israel. And people are going to find out the hard way that is the case. So, what's evil? What's good? Well, let's go back to the first use of the word evil. Where did it all start? Well, in Genesis 2 and verse 9. Genesis 2, 9. The Bible says, and out of the ground the Lord God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and what?
Evil.
Now, why was the tree called that? Was it because the tree was evil? No. If you look down in, or actually look back in Genesis 1:12, the tree wasn't evil. Genesis 1:12, and the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and a tree yielding fruit, whose seed was after it in itself, after its kind. And God saw that it was good. So God said that all these fruit trees that he made were good, not evil. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a fruit tree. We know that because Eve partook of the fruit and then gave to Adam. Let's go down to verse 31, Genesis 1:31. And God saw what? Everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Well, that includes the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant to the sight. And what? Good for food. And what in this list here, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listed in the same verse that says that the Lord God, he made out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. You know what? Eve found that out in her description. Look in Genesis 3:6. She said the exact same thing that God, that it says that God made in Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food. If you go back there in 2:9, Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground, the Lord God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Right there it is, good for food. Back to Genesis 3:6. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was what? Pleasant to the eyes. That's exactly what Genesis 2:9 says. That God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So what the woman is saying in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So then why was it called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because it was the tree that would see if they would obey. If they partook of it, they would know both good, they would know both obedience and disobedience. Disobedience is evil. Look at Genesis 3:9. Genesis 3:9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? He broke God's commandment. In verse 22, Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, Behold, a man has become as one of us to know. And it's talking about experiencing, to know in that sense, to know good and what?
Evil.
And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so he drove out the man. Man personally knew good until this point. Man obeyed God. But at this point, man experienced evil. He disobeyed. So back in Proverbs 8:13. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to hate evil. Well, what does that mean? We saw evil has to do with disobeying God. Disobeying God. And that's the problem with the world. They want to make up their own definitions. And God tells us, well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. God tells us how to escape evil. Proverbs 1:10. The Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not. Why? Well, look in verse 16. For their feet run to what? Evil, and make haste to shed blood. So the world justifies it, but God calls it evil. When people disobey God, that's evil. Look at Proverbs 6. So that was my son following the wrong guise. But look at Proverbs 6 and look at verse 23. Verse 23. The Bible says, for the commandment is what? A lamp. And the law is what? Light. And reproofs of instruction are what? The way of life. So we're talking about obedience. To keep thee from what? The evil woman. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And it goes on saying how to keep away from her. So the wrong type of woman, verse 24, the evil woman, the flattery, the lust, the immodesty part of it. So knowing our time is up for tonight, but knowing when to change and when not to. There is a time to change. When things are going in an evil direction, or things in our lives are already, we realize, you know what? There's this evil. What is evil? We go back to it. The first evil is disobeying God. So when we realize, okay, there's something in my life that is not in line with what God says in the Bible, then that is evil. And I should turn from that. I need to change. I need to turn from that evil and obey the Lord. But there's other things that when we are obeying the Lord, obeying the Word of God, and someone comes along trying to get us to change, we shouldn't change. That's not being stubborn. That's being spiritual. And so we need help. In this day when there's so much change, we all of us need more than ever to be in the Word of God. We just need to continually have our minds renewed so that we keep up on what really is evil and what really is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We need your help. We need your help to be able to think clearly. We need your help to understand from our hearts what is evil and what is good. So Lord, please help us. That is our desire. Lord, if there is something in our lives that needs to change, something in our lives that is being disobedient to you, Lord, bring about that change that we need. Give us the desire to change from that. But Lord, those things that are clear in your word that please you, Lord, help us not to change. We just can't imagine from your perspective just how disheartening it must be, all the change that's going on. The church changing to worldly evil things. And Lord, we don't want to displease you. Please help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.